Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that Murray? Does that music encourage and inspire you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this night, for this time together, Lord. We thank you for your presence in our lives. And we proclaim, Lord, what some of these songs have said because they come from your word, Lord. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment against us, we will condemn, because this is our heritage, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We know we're not condemning people, but we're condemning the judgments that are wrong, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us that ability, for giving us that authority in you, Lord. But we don't rejoice just in that, Lord. In fact, we don't rejoice in that at all. We rejoice, Lord, that our names are written in the book of life, that you are our Father. Jesus, you're our Savior. Holy Spirit, you come as the Comforter, which was promised to fill every heart and life. We give you glory and honor and praise this night. Now, Holy Spirit, we yield control to you. I yield myself to you. Use me, Father, as you see fit. This is your service. We are your people. And we thank you, Lord, for the edification, the comfort, and the exhortation, and the building up in love that we're going to receive tonight because of you. In Jesus' name. If you can agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask a question here. And you don't need to raise your hands. I just want you to think about this in your heart, in your mind. How many here are tempted, if not swayed, by things you hear outside of this place? You know, I was visiting with Harry at breakfast the other morning, and he was telling me about somebody who was making some absolute statements. And in his mind, bless his darling heart, mixed up mind, he was correct. In his mind, he was correct. The problem is when people who think they know what they think they know speak, sometimes they speak in absolutes. And I would submit to you that there's no room for God in those absolutes. And the only reason they do that is they speak about hopeless situations where there is no faith other than in what they see and in their education and their so-called expert opinions. I got blown out of my saddle last night when I received a text message from someone I did not expect to receive or really to ever hear from again, saying, have a happy new year and a blessed and healthy one, something to that effect. And then they said love and their name. And I'm going to be honest with you. In my opinion, in my thoughts, because of what had happened and because the situation was so close to me, I had written them off. I believe there's a statement in the Bible where someone says about another individual, there's no help for him in God. There's no hope for him in God. Wrong. 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 I don't care what situation or state you're in. I don't care what situation or state that other people are in. We cannot just accept people's opinions at face value. The only opinion that matters is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that whose voice we're listening to. You know, I had a conversation with one of the ladies. I don't believe it wasn't Tuesday, but it was one of the third weekend fellowships we have. And one of the statements that I made to them is I said, you know, I've made this before, but, you know, really, sometimes I don't think people really understand that we get things backwards and topsy-turvy and upside down. And that's because we get used to our own ways. We get used to our traditions, our habits. Amen? And the thing is, you know, when the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar, That means that anything that does not come from God's Word, anything that does not come from the Spirit and the anointing of God, is not from God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's wrong. It's just wrong, period. No two ways about it, no second thoughts, and it's just wrong. And so what our responsibility is we have to surrender our minds, like the Word says. We have to receive the washing of the water of the Word, and we have to renew our minds by the Spirit and by the Word. Amen? So that we can keep ourselves in right thinking, in right thoughts. You know, one of the things that I find amazing is that Christians, just absolutely blows me away, Christians are some of the ones who are going around saying, well, the paper says this and the paper says that. And what they're stating, or in the heart that they're saying it, it seems to me, again, you have to know somebody's heart, and only God knows the heart, that what they're saying is, in other words, you know, well, this is fact. It's just the way it is. No, no. I don't care how degraded you become, how degraded you become. I don't care how far you've strayed. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still at His right hand. And there is hope for anyone in God. It just takes your surrender to Him and your willingness to listen and diligently obey what He says and trust Him. Once again, I refer back to the Scripture that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I found some interesting things in John 13 tonight, and I'm going to read a few of them, just maybe expound on them a little bit. And I want you to not just hear the words or listen to the words, but I want you to hear the Spirit as He speaks through these Scriptures, what's really being said there. John 13, chapter verse 31. And we'll go on down to probably through chapter 14 and maybe the first 6 or 10 verses there, or 11 verses. Amen? You know, it's amazing how we can sit and read the Word and totally miss what's being said or misunderstand what's being said. Revelation comes from where? It comes from the Holy Spirit. That's where we get our revelation. And when His Spirit and His Word agree, we have peace. Amen? So we need to listen to what He says. Verse 31. So when He had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. Jesus was at the point where He was being glorified. He was obedient, even to death. And because of His obedience, His Father, Father God, was glorified in Him. In Him, why was God glorified? Because of His obedience. If God is glorified in Him, in verse 32, God will also glorify Himself and glorify Him immediately. Those of you who have a red letter editions, you'll find that these are the words of Jesus. They're in red letters. Verse 33, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek Me, as I said, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come now. So I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also, in other words, let me read this right. I want to make sure we get this right. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. As Jesus loved us, we're commanded to love one another. What was the demonstration of Jesus' love to us? He laid down his life. Amen. That's right. By the way, welcome, brother. Good to have you. Amen. Yes. And then in verse 35, he says, because of this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit hit me with right between the eyes. I got this text last night from a place that I absolutely would not have dreamed of, nor was even thinking about. You know, I would have never, again, I just didn't expect it. It really took me off guard. Here's a person who basically has ruined their life. They have rejected the principles and the things of God. They have destroyed their own marriage. And yet, last night, I got a text from this individual who at one time I was very close to, telling me, Happy New Year, and I hope you have a healthy and great or prosperous New Year. And right away in my spirit, I was convicted because of the fact that I had come to the place where maybe I hadn't read it someplace or nobody had said it to me, but where I had myself written them off, saying, there's no hope. From all the appearances, there is no hope. And I would submit to you, but God. But God. I told Gene and Bill on the way in tonight that I said to them, we were riding together, I said, sometimes the people we think are the hardest and the hardest ones to be won are the ones that God can get a hold of. And when God gets a hold of them, they are the ones who become the greatest perpetrators of the kingdom of God. The greatest promoters of the kingdom of God. And when God gets them, he's got them. I mean, there's no stopping them. And so I thought, Bill, what about the love of God? I was having a conversation with somebody this weekend about forgiveness. And what they said was, I forgive, but I'll never forget. And I'm sorry, if that's what you believe, then you've not forgiven. You don't have the ability to forgive. And we know that anyway. We can't forgive somebody else. If we understand the Word of God, and we study, and we seek God by the Holy Spirit, what you'll find is from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the Old Covenant through the New Covenant, that forgive means, and we most of us, if not all of us here, know that, maybe one or two, that means release. And of course, I'm sure I'm not the only person here, but many of us have tried to forgive somebody, and yet we just can't forget, and it keeps coming back. And we just can't let it go. And the comments was, well, you know, any person who hurts my family, I'm not saying I'm going to go beat them up, but I'm never going to forget. And if I get a chance, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, that'll be real healthy for them and you. Step into a place where you usurp the authority and the power of God through the Holy Spirit, and you're going to do real good things for the kingdom of God. Not. And so because of that conversation and then this happening last night, God's been dealing with me about that and revealing to me that Jesus' love, he never condemned anybody. Now, you don't have to stand up and say, I'm condemning you or I condemn you or act like you're condemning them. You can condemn them by your attitudes and your thoughts. The Word says, whosoever you loose will be loosed. Whosoever you bind will be bind on earth as it is in heaven.
Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained, and whosoever sins you loose, are loosed. What happens is we sometimes forget, maybe many times, I don't know, we forget in our walk and our everyday routines that we were once sinners who needed the love and the grace of God. Amen. And if it wasn't for His grace, none of us would be sitting here. We sing songs like My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. We don't more than get out the door and we forgot what those words say. Something happens, we get irritated, and all of a sudden we're writing somebody off. And I would submit to you, brethren, family of God, these things ought not to be so. Amen? God says He loves us. You and I, and those out there, with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing can separate us from Him. Except us. And even then, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So even when we forsake Him, He never forsakes us. There is always hope. As long as you have a breath left in your body, all you have to do is say, Jesus, Father, I repent. I confess my sin. I forsake my sin. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And watch the love of Jesus and the cleansing blood come and overflow you once again, making your heart pure, restoring you to a right relationship with Him and right relationship with those around you who God's... Can I tell you something? There's not a person that's been ever been in your life that God didn't entrust them to your care. Oh... Wait a minute. That kind of brings a different perspective, doesn't it? We talked about the harlot that was caught in the act of adultery recently. And how everybody there, all these religious, pious people, were ready to condemn Him. And what they really came to do is not just condemn her and stone her, but they wanted to find some fault with Jesus. Well, that's godliness. No. And Jesus just stooped down and wrote in the sand. He said, okay, go ahead. Whichever one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. See, that's the part that we forget. That's the part that slips away from us. We're so easy to in our pious righteousness, which is not our righteousness. There's no righteousness in us. Our righteousness is the righteousness of God, which came into our life when we received the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness and justification we're ever going to have. And I don't know about you, but if my righteousness looks like that, I don't think I want to go around showing people or demonstrating that to people. Do you? Amen. And it takes something like this to jolt you when you get a text like that or somebody comes and says to you, you know, and, you know, all of a sudden you realize, wow, I didn't expect that. Why? Why? Where is our thinking? Where are our thought patterns coming from, and where are they going? I am so reminded, and you know, it's funny. I don't know how many of you remember, but you can go back and check the CDs out. A while back, before I ever heard of this gentleman on one of the Christian stations, he was not even from this country. He happened to be from Africa. And God gave him a dream. But how many of you remember when I said on a Sunday morning that God could get a hold of Obama's life and turn him around? And then here's a man who I don't even know, from a country clear across the ocean, and he says he had a dream or a vision, and in that vision he saw Obama change and get saved. And all of his friends turned against him. And yet some of us, maybe all of us, think of him with such vehement dislike and disgust that we, you know, we don't even consider those kind of things. That's all his case. He's just lost. That's it. It's done. Let's move on. No. No. How many have gone through what looked like a hopeless situation in your life and God was there? God was there. Amen. God was there. Maybe you're going through one now. But the Bible says His grace is sufficient. Even when Paul prayed about the thorn in the flesh, God said, Jesus said, the Spirit of God said to him, spoke to him and said, My grace is sufficient. I would remind you that there is another scripture that says that my God shall supply all of my need or all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Grace, that unmerited favor, that endless mercy, the goodness and mercy that we're told follows us all the days of our life as believers, it's there. I know some of you have had what you consider a thorn in the flesh for many years. But if you stop and consider where God's brought you from and where you're at now and the miracles that have already taken place, maybe not the miracle you exactly prayed for, and that's coming. Amen? The Bible says, whatever you ask for, you receive. Wait a minute. I must have read that wrong. Some things you ask for, you receive. Y'all aren't going to fight me on that? He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do for you. We just got to have the patience to continue to run the race, even though we don't see the manifestation right now. But we also have to walk in faith enough to know that once we prayed the prayer of faith, song tonight, Mark 11:23 and Mark 11:24, that we have the petition we made and that He hears and He answers. What we got to do is ask God to keep us patient and keep us focused and keep confessing, Lord, I prayed the prayer of faith. It's mine. I'm not giving up. And till that manifestation comes. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go on here. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, Did I read verse 35? Okay. Where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for your sake. Here was a man who had been with Jesus, who was a disciple, and all of a sudden he jumps over from spiritual thinking and what he'd been taught into carnal thinking. My point is, I want us to remember that the work that goes on in our lives is a lifelong work. We're not done till we draw our last breath or Jesus raptures us out of here. Translates us out of here, if you like that better. Amen? The perspective in the once and the second song we did with David Ingalls there about Mark 11:23-24 is the fact that if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, then you have enough faith to do anything, even to move mountains. The Bible says He's given us the measure of faith. The only limitation is in your mind and your heart. And there are some folks, bless their darling hearts and mixed up minds, their intellect, their emotions, their experiences, fight with them. It's not possible. It's not possible. And that's when you have to do what the Bible says in taking captive those thoughts, bringing them into the obedience of Christ. Amen? Casting down those vain imaginations. What's a vain imagination? Anything that does not point you to the truth and the validity of the Word of God and the reality that it will come to pass if you stand in faith and believe it. Why? Because He said it. Because He can't lie. Amen? Hallelujah, Lord. Verse 38, Jesus answered him, "You will lay down your life for my sake?" He's asking a question. "Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Here was a man who saw the miracles, who walked in the miracles, who partook in the miracles, and had operated in the miracles. And still, out of fear, because of accusations, because his eyes got on the circumstances rather than on what Jesus had told him and the truth that he'd been taught, and he denied Christ three times before the rooster crowed three times. Here was a man who was Jesus' friend, close to Jesus. Listen carefully. Chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Don't just believe He's there. Believe what He said. Believe the works. Believe the works for the works' sake, the Bible says. What works? That God devised the plan and decided to give His greatest possession, which was His Son Jesus Christ, for you and I. To set us free from the law of sin and bondage and death. To set us free, pull us out of the miry clay. Believe in the works that Jesus did. We say we believe in God, that's how we got saved. Now we've got to believe in the works that Jesus did. That He died once and for all eternity. And that He purchased us. We're bought with a great price. Once again, like the song says, we owe a debt we can't pay. He paid a debt He didn't owe. So that God could continue His plan to fellowship with us in this earth and in our lives. There was a time in my life when I was, if you will, scared spitless of death. Didn't want any part of it. I said, "God, why?" And what I've come to understand is what Jesus said when He went to the cross and then when He went to the grave. He said, "O grave, where's your victory? And O death, where's your sting?" He was going back to the right hand of God the Father. Amen? We shouldn't be afraid of death. That's the victory we live our lives for. Amen? Being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? To live as Christ and to die is what? Gain. Great gain. Glory to God. That's the ultimate victory, amen? It's not to be feared. My issues, and I'll just be honest with you, my issues was I was attached to too many things and too many people on this earth. And of course, human beings are famous for, but what if? Oh my goodness. But what's going to happen? What'll they do? Well, I would submit to you once again, God's grace is sufficient. You're here by His plan, and when He says it's time to go, it's time to go. But I want to tell you something. If you're operating in faith, God promised that he would give us long life and show us his salvation. He would satisfy us with long life and show us his salvation. And that means that until we've fulfilled everything that God has for us to fulfill, we're not going anywhere. Most of you, I don't have to remind that you're sitting here looking at a living miracle. Amen? My family, everybody, I'm sure most of you thought I was a goner. Right? Three times. And here I am, because God's not done. God's not done with me. Hallelujah. Don't let yourself get dragged into the circumstances or the things you see. Trust God. Trust in God with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding or your own thinking. Trust him. Trust him. He's never lied, amen? Never lied. Let's go on. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. My goodness, right there he's telling us, man, where I'm going, you're coming. He told the disciples earlier in verse 31 of chapter 13. He said, you know, where I'm going, you can't go now, but you will follow. What are you talking about, Jesus? You're going to follow. If you love the Lord, if you serve him all of your days, if you do what he tells you to do, if you're willing and obedient, you will see, not only in the hereafter, but in this life, the glory of God manifest in your life. I didn't say you'd see your glory. I said you'd see the glory of God manifest in your life. And yet God says he'll glorify us too. Not diminishing his glory, but what that means is that as we obey what he says, and we operate in the principles of God, that will bring glory not only to him, but it will show what God's really done in our lives, which will bring a degree of glory or a kind of glory. I can't tell you what I'm talking about here. You just take it by the Spirit. But we will receive some kind of glory in this life and in the hereafter because we diligently listened to obey. We ran the whole race. We didn't just run a little part of it and then give up because it got a little difficult or because things didn't turn out quite the way we had planned. How many have ever thought that in their life? Wait a minute, this isn't exactly what I had planned. Praise God. Because his ways are higher than our ways. Amen. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Hallelujah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. And yet they were confused. He was going back where he came from the Father. Going back to sit on the right hand of God. And be the ruler. We just got done with the Christmas season. If you look in Isaiah, if you look in Matthew, you see. We're told that unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is right now setting up, and he has been setting up in our lives from the day we said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive me for my sins. And he's been setting up that government in us. And not only that, he's made us a part of that government, of which there will be no end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Listen to what Jesus said. This exploded in me tonight. Jesus said, the question was by Thomas, We do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, listen, this is amazing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, in verse 7 of chapter 14, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Jesus was and is that way. And what they couldn't see because they weren't perceiving with spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, excuse me, is that they did know the way. He was going back where he came from to the Father who sent him. And if you followed his example, you were walking in the way. If you did what he told you to do, if you were obedient, then you were already, you knew the way already. Be obedient. Be imitators of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The works that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me, or believe me, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now that sounds like double talk to you. I'm going to do the best I can by the help of the Holy Spirit to explain that to you. I had a father. We all did. Newsflash. Oh. So really, when you see me, what you're seeing is an offshoot, or in many cases, if not specifically, a mirror image of my father, except for one thing. I'm talking from a worldly standpoint and from a physical father. But we all have the same Heavenly Father. And so if we're living what God wants us to live, and we're doing what we're supposed to do, and we're living the example, and we're obedient, even unto death, then they have seen the Father. What have they seen? They've seen the goodness of God through our walk. They've seen the fulfillment of God's promises, the fulfillment of the prayers that were answered and that we made the petitions to God for, and the fact that people got saved, they got set free, and that we've set the example because we imitated Christ. Jesus didn't come to preach Jesus. He came to preach the kingdom of God. And as a result, he revealed the heart of the Father in this earth. Amen. And while there were many people who, quote unquote, were religious or religious leaders who didn't understand him because they operated in carnal thinking, not spiritual thinking, that's what happens when you do not have the Holy Spirit. They could not see. And so as a result, they wanted to condemn him. They couldn't receive. The Bible says the natural man does not receive the things of God, nor indeed can he. They are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And that Comforter, you know, where do we get our comfort from the Holy Spirit? How is that manifested? It's manifested through revelation, through remembrance, through reminding of the Scriptures, of the Word returning to us, like when it was given to us, not void, but accomplishing what it was sent to do in our lives and as we spoke it out in the lives of other people. Amen. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? He said, in my name, or, you know, you've seen the things that I've done, but you'll do these things and even greater things in my name. We sang the song tonight about being grafted into the vine. That same life that's in that vine, that brings life to that vine, because we've been grafted in, now brings life into our lives. Amen? Life causes us to flourish and prosper and remain healthy. Amen? In the things of God, as well as the physical. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, if you're listening, you're getting the same thing I'm getting, and I'm preaching myself happy, so you should be getting there too. I mean it. Sometimes, because of circumstances and things, we don't know where to draw the line between the spiritual and the natural. Amen. Amen. That's not an accusation. That's a statement of fact. And that's why this is a lifelong race, so He can complete in us the work that He set before us. Amen. We can run the whole race, fulfill the will of God. If we're already seated with Him in heavenly places at Jesus' right hand, and the man of enemy is our footstool, what are we fussing about? Why are we still, you know, like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, and then in verse 6, it goes on about the verse 12 in chapter 5, and then on through for chips. Sometimes there are some people who, while they should be teachers, are still receiving milk. They're not able to use the Word of God and to be fed meat, because they can't get past, they don't know where that delineation line or that line of demarcation is in their life between the spirit and the flesh, the carnal thinking. And again, that comes by a continual washing of water by the Word. Faith comes by what? By hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And it's enhanced by experiences here and there along the way. Amen? Glory. Glory to God. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He's already told us, Jeremiah 29:11, He knows the thoughts that He has for us, the plans that He has for us. They're thoughts for good and not for evil, and to give us a hope and a future. To prosper and not to harm us. So if anything comes in your way that doesn't look like a hope or that you have a future, cast it down. Cast it down. One of the things David Ingalls sang in that one song is, you know, don't worry about your thoughts. Your thoughts are not the final outcome. When that bug Satan comes around, you just look him right now and say, bug off, bug, quit bugging me. I'm a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? Is it helping anybody? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes some of us get to the place where, and I've been guilty of this in the past, where we get so heavenly minded we're northly good. Oh, y'all missed a good place to say amen. If we would indeed imitate Jesus, then the only thing that you'd ever see or hear from us is what Jesus confessed. I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. Amen. Hallelujah. And so instead of running around speaking negative and without even realizing it, bringing others down, we'd be speaking positive and keeping people around us in an uplifted state. You know, we pray every time we pray about, at least I do anyway, you all know that you'd be edified, comforted, built up in love. Amen? The revelation of Jesus would fill your hearts and your minds. Revelation of Jesus. I'm not even going to explain that any further. That just stands on its own. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. If you need prayer tonight, feel free. Raise your hand. The elders will come, or you can come up, whatever you want to do. But what I want to ask you now is, are all hearts clear? I'm blessed being able to bring this message tonight. I thank you, Lord, for ordering my steps in your word and for declaring my thoughts. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Now it's between you and the Holy Spirit. What you do with it, where it goes from here. But I've sent the word out to you. And the Bible says his word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes what it's sent to do. And it's probably different. In fact, I can guarantee it's different in each life. It may bring the same result, but it's different in each life. Because God deals with us where we're at. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You know, when we give altar calls, or what people call altar calls, or invite people to come, that's not to expose anybody or to embarrass anybody, but so that we can come in agreement with them that they'll walk in the precepts that they've heard and learned by the preaching of the word. So we shouldn't be bashful. We shouldn't be ashamed. I need the Lord, folks. I need him. I need him. We've talked about this before. We sing about this too. I need him more today than I did yesterday, and I'll need him more tomorrow than I did today. Because I'm not where I want to be yet. Amen? I thank God I'm on my way. I'm getting there. But I'm not. I have not arrived. There you go. Amen? I have not arrived. So I'm going to keep pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to keep going no matter what. And there comes a point when you walk with God. I've heard this come out of Gene's mouth. I've heard it come out of Bill's mouth and some others. You know, you can't stop what you're doing. God's got a hook in your heart. He's got a hook in your jaw, just like a fish on the end of a string. Jesus said, he said, you'd make the disciples fishers of men. And that hook is there, and I don't want to get away from it, and I couldn't get away from it if I wanted to. I'm in too deep. I've come too far. There is nothing behind me. Nothing. It's over with. It's the only choice I've got is to keep going in the direction I'm going. Amen? That's the way we should all feel. We don't have another choice. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Amen? All hearts clear. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up your people to you. I thank you, Lord, that your word has been declared. I pray that you'd seal it in every heart in this house, starting right here. We love you, Lord. We praise you and thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness, for your mercy, your goodness. Lord, we sang tonight, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Lord, we thank you. We're cognizant of. We remember your benefits. We bless you, Lord, with all that's within us, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for the gift of another day with you, Lord. Now, Lord, I thank you that your face shines on your people. I pray that your countenance would radiate from the faces of each and every person in this place tonight, Lord, and every person outside these walls who would listen to the internet on our website and hear this message, Lord, that you touch their hearts, touch their lives, change them, continue to mold them and turn them into an image, your image, Lord, a mere image of obedience and sacrifice and willingness to be a servant for others because of you, and a servant to you, Lord, willingly, unhesitatingly, and joyfully. Now, Lord, bless our time together for the fellowship we have after, Lord, tonight. Bless those that are here. We pray for those who are guests tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd touch him, that you'd bless him, that you'd reveal yourself to him, and that you'd raise him up and make him a mighty light in the kingdom of God. Because of your presence in his life. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And you are and your word is the light of men. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Now go with your people, bless them. Thank you for health, for prosperity, and for blessings overflowing us. In Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen. God bless you.